am now.
Okay.
Thank you, Missy. I forgot. That's okay. We'll get to good parts in. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Go ahead, Phil.
I'd like you to please pray for my aunt. We had a great week together, and she had joy, and there's peace, and we went out somewhere every day, and she was eating well, and she stopped losing weight, and we got home, and today we find out she's in the hospital, and she's in a lot of pain, and it's really, really hard for her to see any kind of hope, because it's that bad. So the devil's definitely attacking hard and making it tough on her. So we could pray for her. And
yeah, let me ask you a question, Phil. Has she listened to or read the Real Good News yet?
I don't know if she does much English reading, but we shared it with her, all of it, yeah, for the last week. Okay. We did share it. And she accepted everything. She received it all and believed it and accepted it, and she stood on it firm. Amen. And she just...
Well, let's come against that enemy.
Amen.
Lord, we know that... once we pray, that devil likes to sneak back in, and he likes to claim what he lost before. But we, in the name of Jesus right now, come against that. We bind that demon of cancer, and we command it to go. We bind that demon of pain and command it to go in the name of Jesus. You go from her in Jesus' name. Now, what's her name, Natasha? Yeah, and Lord, we thank you. We lift up Natasha. We thank you, Lord, that you're placing great, bold faith in her. Lord, she's new to this faith walk, I believe, but she's understood the real good news that Theo and Lana have given her. And we thank you, Father, for bringing those things to life for her, bringing them back to her mind to rebuke that enemy in the name of Jesus. Now, we hook our faith up with her and Theo and Lana, and we command complete healing in her body from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. And we claim it. We command every cell in her body to be healed, because it is by the stripes and the blood of Jesus. And Father, we thank you from this point on. She's going to stand firm, endure in her faith. And we praise you, Father, for placing this in her. Lord, give her a vision, a dream, or whatever it's going to take to let her stand firm on what your promises say, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Natasha's great and mighty victory. And we praise you, Lord, that she's going to grab a hold of it, grab that sword, and go to work. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Lord, we come against that spirit of fear that's on her right now. We command that to go. Father, we ask that you bring peace in her heart right now. Let her have that joy that she had when Theo and Leonid were there. Let her capture that thought and bring it back and bring that peace back into her heart, Father. Thank you.
Amen. Claire says, we pray for either a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit's gift of understanding of the English language or of a supernatural translation of Sovereign God and Real Good News in Russian. Thank you, Father. We know you can reach all hearts and all cultures and languages with your truth. Praise God forevermore. Julie says, Father, let every word of promise come back to her memory from the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Every line, symptom, go from her right now in Jesus' name. Natasha, you are healed and delivered in Jesus' name right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Lord, we know that you hear our prayers, and we thank you, Father, for your healing power upon Natasha right now. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for sending your healing angels out there right now. In Jesus' name. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fill her. Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Glory, glory, glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Woo, my. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Theo.
Glory to God. I have one more. We had word today from Ukraine, a family, my cousin, and her son, he's 5 years old, but I'm not sure of his name, but he fell down and he's basically non-responsive, and he started foaming at the mouth, and he's alive, but he's totally out. They were playing and he fell off of something, and that's all we know currently. Yeah, he's 5 years old. And he's my cousin's son over in Ukraine.
What's his name?
I don't know his name.
Okay.
Lord knows.
Okay. Well, Father, we do. We lift up this 5-year-old Ukrainian child. Sounds like a head injury to me, but Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we come against the attack of the enemy against this young child. In Jesus' name, we bind up the works of Satan to try to take him out. In Jesus' name, and we cast you off of him right now. The spirit of death, you go from him right now. You spirit of infirmity, you follow right behind him. Within 2 seconds, you go from him in the name of Jesus. We command that spirit of comatose to go from him right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you go from this child right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that your blood right now has already covered this child. He's a child of the living God. And we praise you, Father, for your mighty work on this young child in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you're going to get the glory. The doctors don't know, but you know, and you perform because we ask you to. And we thank you for it, Lord, in the name of the living Jesus who died on the cross for his wounds in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise you, Father, forevermore that this child is now awake and speaking and is ready to go home and eat hot dogs or whatever they eat over there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. It is done. Does everybody believe that? Raise your hand and say, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, because it's done. That child is up and running around. Theo's going to hear the testimony of that family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for these open heavens you've given us. Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, my. Powerful stuff God's doing here. All right. Anybody else? You know God loves them children. He loves them children. My gracious sakes alive. That devil tries to take them, but he can't have them. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Pat.
Father, I thank you for this situation, Lord. I pray that you would open up that child's eyes and give him a view of you while he is coming out of this coma or this situation that he's in. Lord, we just trust you. Give him dreams of heavenly visions of you, of your of heaven, of this earth, his conquering over this earth. Lord, put a vision in his heart. We just thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for the healing on his heart and on his mind, on his head. And reverse those damages. We agree with Michael's prayer that he is healed in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it, Father. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we are. We're looking forward to the great testimonies, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Claire, go ahead.
praise report. Is that okay?
Go for it, girl.
I just want to share, I've let Michael know already, but I wanted to let the brethren know that we had Andrea and Edwin over on Saturday and spoke about a whole bunch. And she decided on Sunday that she was going to, Sunday night, that she was going to trust God for healing. And she threw away her thyroid meds. And she just lives a couple of houses away, but I don't get to her. We just text. And she told me this. And then on Monday, she just said to me, she's got a really bad headache. And she wants to know, like, does she need to change her eating habits or does she need to have any more like sort of natural supplements to kind of, you know, thwart off all these things from the meds? And I said, no, well, that would just be exchanging one method for another method of man's healing. Like, you know, there's no condemnation. We said to her, you don't have to, like, don't do this because we're not telling you to do anything. Like, we're just sharing the gospel. And she said, no, I believe it. And she claimed it. And she was so bold. And she threw those meds away. She confessed to her children and her husband. And the most amazing thing, on Monday morning, she could not drink coffee anymore. Like, she relies on coffee a lot. And she just texted me and she said, I can't get it down. She's like, I can't drink it. It's like my body would say no. And I said, absolutely. Like, God is, he wants you to rely only on him. He will change your taste buds and your DNA. And she is so excited. And she's so, she's just got such faith. And then yesterday she had all these attacks. She got a call from the medical or Medicare, whatever it is in Australia. I don't know. To say that her child's been booked in for a tonsillectomy next week, Wednesday. And she said, no. And then they said, why? And she said, I didn't have the boldness to tell them why. She said, but I just told them we don't need that. And they got all frustrated with her on the phone and said, well, you know, this is really the best option for your child. And she said, no, it's okay. I don't need it anymore. And she texted me and she said, I feel so, you know, like, she said, and I said, of course it is. This is so exciting. So I'm just so grateful for God's goodness in her life. It's just wonderful.
She's getting it, isn't she? Man, she is getting totally. It. She's not looking at the natural. She's looking at the word of God. She's trusted the Lord in everything. And guess what's going to happen? Going to have a great testimony from that girl. The tonsils was put there for a reason. Don't take them. If God had made a mistake with the tonsils, he wouldn't have put them in there. Yep. Praise God. I still got my tonsils. You don't see?
I also got mine.
Yeah, I still got mine too. Praise the Lord. Yep, thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody? Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? You better smile, Dave. Go ahead, Missy.
My mom emailed me and let me know that my we've prayed for them before. My great aunt and uncle, Anna Mae and Orvin, he's 90 or 91. He might have turned 91, or he's going to be 91 soon. Anyway, she's she's 84. Anyway, I think she was in the hospital this late winter or early spring. I'm not sure. Anyway, but she's in the hospital now, and the doctors said that she has 85 to 90% blockage in all five major arteries. And she used to walk, and she doesn't walk anymore because of this. And she couldn't even do the stress test because it was too painful. And I don't know. My prayer is, above all else, that, you know, I know they don't believe in healing, the Lord's healing and stuff like that. And they are Christians, but to what degree, I don't know, to be honest with you. Father, I just pray for Aunt Anna Mae and Uncle Orvin. and the girls, Denise and Vicky, and the rest of the family, Lord, that you most of all prepare Uncle Orvin and Aunt Anna May to meet you, Lord, when it's their time, that they all be clear and repentant of all their sins and confess all their sins, and that they don't have any unforgiveness. They're pretty old now, and so Father, I just ask you that you speak to their hearts, work in their hearts, and just make it that they're completely ready to be with you when it's their time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for granting repentance to them for not believing your word. And we praise you, Father, that when they leave this place, they're going to be riding on an angel going up to heaven because they do believe. You place it in their hearts to repent, Father, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Anybody else? Y'all want to hear something that'll get you fired up? Does anybody want to hear something that'll get you fired up? That's what I'm asking out there.
Amen.
All right, give me a second here.
And maybe even more powerful in certain situations, the weapon of prayer. Most believers don't view prayer as a weapon. This may be because Paul does not align it to a piece of weaponry like he did the other six elements of the armor of God. This was not because the Roman soldier did not have any other weapons. They did. Besides the sword, the soldiers also had spears, bow and arrows, battering rams, and catapults. But Paul does not compare any of these to prayer, because none of them can even come close to the power, precision, and effectiveness of the weapon of prayer. So since Paul doesn't give us a piece of battle gear to equate to the weapon of prayer, maybe we could even refer to it as our secret weapon. This is why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." In this verse, the weapon he's referring to is prayer. None of the other pieces of the armor of God was described the same way as prayer is described, as mighty, meaning that prayer is the ultimate weapon for a believer. It must never be forgotten that Almighty God rules this world. He is not an absent God. His hand is ever on the throttle of human affairs. He is everywhere at all times. And what you need to know is that there is nothing more important to God than a believer's prayer and faith. Prayer is the heartbeat of each and every believer. Warren Wisby said, "Everything that God does is an answer to prayer." And that's the truth, because James said, "You have not, simply because you ask not." God helps believers through prayer. He who does not pray, therefore robs himself from God's help. Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." What we need to understand is the power that we have in prayer. Now, the weapon of prayer is a force. It touches eternal powers and sets them into motion. It moves God into action and the devil into retreat. Because where there is no prayer, the devil advances. Did you hear me? Where there is no prayer, the devil advances. This is why we are told in everything and in every area we should pray. God will only give to you what you're willing to pray for. Are you in trouble? Are you in deep waters? Has the enemy come in like a flood? Let me tell you, my friend, there are situations in life that you cannot overcome any other way except through prayer. No other way except through prayer and prayer alone. Ephesians 4:27 says, "Do not give the devil a chance." God is telling us himself, do not give the devil a chance. Are you giving the devil a chance in your life? Today it has to stop. Don't allow the devil to ruin your life. Get on your knees and fight back. Stop allowing the devil to destroy your health. The Bible says, I will bring you health. Stop allowing the devil to break up your family. The Bible says, let no man separate what God has joined together. Stop allowing the devil to tell you your life is over. The Bible says, your God will restore everything you have lost. Everything you have lost. Stop allowing the devil to inject the spirit of fear into your life. The Bible says God has not given you the spirit of fear. Stop allowing the devil to tell you into you. Stop allowing the devil to tell you your situation is hopeless. You need to know that Jesus is your hope. You don't have to take his stuff. You don't have to take it. Call on God through prayer. Use the weapon that you have been given, the weapon of prayer. Prayer opens up the gates of heaven and closes the gates of hell. Prayer uproots and destroys demonic power and influences. Prayer lifts you higher to a place you cannot go by yourself. Prayer invokes the supernatural power of God. Prayer opens up resources not known to men. You have a host of angels ready, waiting to intervene in your situation, but you are silent. Why are you silent? Suffering in silence, in pain in silence, dying in your sin in silence, living with a broken heart in silence, putting a smile on for the world, but crying yourself to sleep at night. This is something I struggle with myself. Even when I am not all right, if someone asks me, I always say I'm fine. But we don't have to live like this. Each and every one of us have been given the ability to call on God. He can end your suffering. He can ease your pain. He can save you from your sin. He can heal your broken heart. He can heal the damage that man did to you. He can heal that damage that woman did to you, because he loves you and cares for you. The truth is, life is not fair. It really is not fair at times. Not everybody gets the same breaks and the same opportunities. And with life, the burdens and the storms will come. And they can get so difficult that you even struggle to breathe. And life can break your heart in a multitude of ways. Your spouse or your loved one leaves you and moves on with their life. And fast forward 2 years on, you're still there, left, trying to pick up the pieces. And they've moved on. Your business experiences difficulties through no fault of your own. You went to every meeting, you treated your customers right, you did everything right. And it just doesn't work out. And you're left with a broken heart. Your loved one dies unexpectedly. And you don't know what to do with yourself. And you're left with memories and a broken heart. Your health gets taken away from you, completely out of the blue. And you're there left with a broken heart. I don't know what's broken your heart today, but there's only one that can heal a broken heart. The one who said, cast your care upon me, for I careth for you. Jesus cares for you. Jesus cares for you. He can heal your broken heart. I've not lived your life, and you've not lived my life. I don't know the burdens, the pain that you've had to endure. But one thing we do have in common is that we've got one precious Savior, one precious Jesus, and he can heal your broken heart. All you have to do is ask. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call on me and I will answer you. Did you know prayer is the language of calling upon God? The devil will do everything in his power to stop you from praying. And he'll try to even block your prayers. Look at Daniel 10 verse 12. When an angel was speaking to Daniel, he said, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your word. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Notice how the angel said, because of your words, your breakthrough is on its way, but you need to carry on fighting using the weapon of prayer. You need to have an aggressive, fiery, relentless attitude with your prayer life. But unfortunately, anytime our prayers are not answered instantly, we give up. We need to persist with crying out to the Lord. We need to have a whatever it takes attitude with our prayer life. Oh Jesus, I need you to come through. I need you to come through on your promises. You said to me, call on me in the day of trouble. I'm in trouble. If you don't do something for me here, I won't survive. I need you to come through for me. God, you promised me. You promised me that you would be with me. You promised me that you would fight for me, that you would give your angels charge over me. God will answer your prayer. You don't have to fight the battles of life alone. You have God on your side, but he's waiting on you to ask. When was the last time you used the weapon of prayer? And I'm not talking about that soft prayer that you always recite every single day. I mean the type of prayer where your whole spirit is involved, where you throw everything you have inside of you. And you don't even need to shout. It can just come from the heart. You have a prayer warrior inside you. You need to stop letting life and the devil kick you around. Call on God. Tell yourself, I might be old, but I'm a prayer warrior. I might be young, but I'm a prayer warrior. I might be a saint, but I'm a prayer warrior.
Okay. Anybody ready to pray now? Come on now. Well, Obadiah's ready. Okay. Anybody got any comments?
Michael, can you post that link in the chat, please?
Sure.
Very good.
Understand that these Lion of Judah motivational things are from mainline denominational churches mostly. And just use the part that you want to, you know. Okay, I'll do it. All right, anybody got anything they...
Michael, I'd like to have the group pray for our loved ones, that God will give them dreams and visions, something supernatural to wake them up. I pray for a tremendous intervention in the lives of our loved ones, our children, our husbands, wives, families, that they will wake up.
Okay. Anybody want to start out? While I get this done. There we go. Okay. Yeah. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do. We lift up our family. You have promised us household salvation. We claim it. We grab a hold of it. And Father, we have already prayed for our family members. It doesn't look like in the natural that anything is happening, but it doesn't make any difference that anything is not happening, because we know in the spirit realm, everything is happening to bring them.
Thank you, Father.
To the feet of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that your angels are, that the Lord of the harvest is already sending people around that they would listen to bring them to the knees of Jesus, to the feet of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for granting repentance to every one of them, every one of them that we've already prayed for. Place it in our hearts, Lord, from this point on, to praise you and to thank you that it's a done deal. And Lord, we don't believe nothing else but what your word says, because your word says in Mark 11:23 that what we pray, and if we believe what we pray is going to come to pass, we shall have it. in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just praise you that every person in our family that we have prayed for and believed for is coming to Jesus. Lord, we know that sometimes you have to take them right to death's door. That's okay. That's fine with us, Lord. But we know that they're coming in, and we'll be able to spend eternity with them. This world here is just a flash in a pan, Lord. And we thank you for bringing them all in and bringing them up to heaven where you are, where we can meet them and spend eternity with them, Lord. Thank you for doing that for everybody here that believes. And is there anybody here that don't believe? Raise your hand. Oh. Amen. Thank you, Lord. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Father, for doing that for every one of us in Jesus' name. Because I believe, mm-hmm. and I know that all of mine are coming in and all of y'all's is coming in too, in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes the Lord is taking me through a trial with my grandchildren. You can see with your eyes the things that are going on, and you get sidetracked sometimes because you want to just reach and grab them and shake a knot in them and try to beat the Bible all up and down in them, you know, but it doesn't work. It's when you put them on the altar and forget about them and just love them and know that God's working in their life from that point on. It's when God will do something in their life. I know. I've seen it happen. Praise God forevermore. Okay. Anybody else?
No, Ed.
Hey, Greg.
Thank you for that, by the way, Kathleen, for that request. I'm going to read something. It's a prayer. Excuse me. Tickle on the throat. It's a prayer that I found in my resources as I'm sorting things out. And it comes from a website called Praying Through Scripture. Anyway.
From what?
Hang on a sec. I'll tell you exactly. PrayingScriptures.com.
Okay.
All right. Father, according to Matthew 21:21, we come before you in prayer and in faith. Your word says in Romans 13:11 that now is the time for all to awaken from sleep. Romans 13:11 also says, for our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. Lord, according to Colossians 1:13, deliver our loved ones from the power of darkness. In the corner of Romans 13:12, cause them to put on the armor of light. And according to the same chapter, verse 14, help them in their daily walk to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to verse 13, and to avoid the lust and idolatry of life. As per Psalm 119:37, cause them to turn their eyes away from worthless things. And as per 2 Timothy 2:26, to come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. As per Romans 13:13, deliver them from immorality, strife, and envy. And as per Hebrews 10:22, draw them near to you, Father, with a true heart. As per Matthew 5:6, create in them a hunger and a thirst for you and your righteousness. And as per Psalm 119:37, revive them in all your ways. In Colossians 1:9, as per Colossians 1:9, ask you fill them with the knowledge of your will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And as per the following verse, that they might have a walk worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing you, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of you. And as per verse 11, strengthen with all might according to your glorious power. As per Romans 8:30, bring them into the calling that you have predestined for them. And as per 1 Chronicles 28:9, help them to serve you with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. As per Psalm 32:8, instruct them in the way they should go, As it says in James 1:22, let them be doers of the word and not hearers only. And meditating your word day and night, as it says in Psalm 119:97, and as per Psalm 112:6, establish your heart so that they will never be darkened. Sorry, never be shaken. And as for 1 Corinthians 10:13, show them a way of escape with every temptation. As per Romans 13:8, let them owe no man anything except their love. As per 1 John 3:18, a love that is in deed and truth, not just word and speech. And as per Psalm 110:3, let them be volunteers serving you in the time of your power. As per Matthew 6:33, seek your kingdom so that they will reap abundant blessings. As Lord, as per Proverbs 3:9, we pray that they will honour you with their possessions and with the first fruits of their increase. And as per Psalm 111:1, praising the Lord with their whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. And as per Micah 6:8, walking humbly with you, Lord, being determined to act justly. And as per Psalm 112:4, loving mercy and righteousness, being gracious and full of compassion. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I've been extremely busy the last few days, Greg. I'm going to get that out probably tomorrow to everybody, those verses. I think you sent it to me, didn't you?
Actually, the one I went to the next page, it's praying for children.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, I'll get it out tomorrow to everybody. Maybe Claire can get it to Petra. Oh, wait a minute. She's in Tasmania. That's going to be a trip, ain't it?
For me to drop it off to her? Is the ministry well, getting out of
it? Petra's in South Africa. You can send me your... well, I've got your email, so I'll just send it to you in email. I sent it to everybody. I sent an email to. Okay, good deal.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Obadiah, what are you doing? Boy, you quit eating that solid food right here in front of everybody. What's the matter with you, boy? Yeah, don't give me that old smile.
Notice he planted himself right in front of the camera,
right
too.
Yeah, right in front. You can't use a fork in front of these people here. What's the matter with you? Get you a spoon and eat that chicken with, for goodness sake. Anyway, anybody else?
Praise God.
All right. Okay. We were going to talk about something tonight. Does anybody remember what it was?
No.
We was going to talk about Son of Perdition. Was that it? And fasting.
No.
Okay. Let's open up fasting first. Go ahead, Pat.
Can I open up something else real quick before we get into that? Greg was praying there, and I got and some of the other prayers that kind of, did I take myself off a mute? I guess
no. We can hear you. Your audio is okay. A little bit skippy, but we can understand you.
Oh, I'm sorry. How about now?
Yeah, that's better. Much better.
I had my hand in front of my face. I was thinking about the people now that are in the organized church. And I know that is a holding pen to a certain degree. I know David spoke of it as a playpen, but it provided, I know the Lord took me through that process, took me through the church, the organized church. And he did it for a reason, because I wasn't prepared I didn't believe in authority. I didn't believe in submission to anybody or anything. I was my, you know, as far as I knew, I was my own whatever man, you know, or kid or whatever. Awesome. And I didn't know anything about things like that. And joining, coming into a church like that is a type of a structure, spiritual though it is, it does teach people, it provides the opportunity for people to that structure. I won't go any farther than that, because I know that obviously that structure has so deteriorated from the original intent, but nevertheless, God left it intact and left it there. And the word is preached. We just listened to, this message, and Michael reminded us that it's coming out of that system. And that system, of course, they teach some things very well, very accurately. I take that back. They have a perspective of bringing people into salvation, but they don't, because they don't they don't have the grasp on the reality of the gospel to go past that into discipleship. And the requirement for discipleship and growing and learning to relate with God through His Word, and through that process, start to tear that man down and expose yourself before God to the and open yourself to the Word. Those people that are caught in that structure or come into that structure do not have any concept that. They have a general concept of that process. So, but God's word did not go out to return void. That word is still being preached there. And the thing that I was just now seeing is that God is bringing us to the place where we can preach, give out the word, and to be able to demonstrate that gospel in our lives. And God is in the process of breaking up the fallow ground. He's breaking up the soil in the world today in order to throw out that seed. When that seed goes out there, it's going to find a little more fertile ground, a little more receptive ground, because what He is doing right now is He's removing the dependence upon the world, people's dependence upon the things that they have trusted in, because we're going to soon see economies crumble. And it is amazing that when you come into health conditions or bad health conditions, especially when the doctors are giving you no hope, that your heart starts to be open to other resources, other opportunities. And I think the Lord is bringing us into that place. He's breaking up the fallow ground of the world, and this world, this gospel that God has given us is going to be more receptive. And I believe I think not to be discouraged that people, you know, have a reliance on the religious structure of today, but they are open for that reception. So I just, I don't know, I just kind of felt that. I was thinking about that. So the parable of the sower. Now, the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. When I probably should have prefaced this, but I'm assuming that everybody knows the parable of the sower. This is the explanation that Jesus is giving of it. Those beside the road who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, but in a time of temptation fall away. And I believe that firm root is what God is going to sink in this ground of those hopes and visions that people had in their lives. They start to see those crumble and they're reaching out for something more. The seed which fell among the thorns, those are the ones who have heard, and as they go their way are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. These worries are going to start, these worries about getting rich and doing things and having things, all these things are going to kind of squelch down. They're going to kind of dissipate in the focus of a person's real need. And those needs are going to become very apparent in these coming days. And people are going to think a whole lot less about riches and pleasures of life and that sort of thing. They're going to be focusing on survival and what it's going to take. And they said the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word and in an honest heart and good heart hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. And I believe that God is preparing good soil through these conditions and situations that are coming upon us, and that those hearts, those good and honest hearts, are those people that have ears to hear and eyes to see, and they want to receive that which hasn't been given to them. If they're in church, they have a desire. There's a desire to know God there somewhere. So I just feel that, you know, be encouraged at what God is doing with us in this, and praise God for that we're born in this day and age, because I believe exciting things are coming about ahead. So praise the Lord.
Lost my mouth for a minute. Couldn't unmute. Yeah, thank you, Pat. That's right. The hard times that are coming, that's when people start looking at God, isn't it? They're not going to look at God as long as there's peace and prosperity. And that's why God's bringing the tribulation, is to bring them to a point where they just bring down their whole world. And then they'll start looking to God. And that's when our prayers will be answered. Okay, born again, fasting, which one? I don't care. Somebody raise your hand if you want to talk about either one of them. Yeah, Andrew.
How about we do the born again one first?
Okay. Go for it.
Oh. Okay. Well, I first of all, I have a question. It's a related question. It's it has to do with regeneration. So that's another word for born again. It's in Matthew 19:28, and I don't know how many times I've read this, and this is the first time I was arrested. And Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say unto you, that ye who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on his throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So here's a regeneration before the cross. And so was that something these disciples were looking forward to? Was that something that they were being told, that they were going to be regenerated? That they were going to get this former reign at that time? Can we parallel it to something where we get the latter reign today? So this is just a question. I've just noticed that this regeneration is in there. And what did they think when they heard this word, regeneration? Maybe someone has a good definition of it, because there was no cross yet. Jesus said this, and there was no resurrection yet. So was this something they're looking forward to? Is this the same thing we're looking forward to because of the tribulation time coming? And now we can step into that? Or to look forward to it, just the same way these apostles were? It's just a question, you know. I don't know why I was arrested. I read this just maybe a few hours ago, because I did go to work today, and this is where I am. But it's a related question about born again. But
okay,
what do you think?
Well, go ahead, Dave. Dave's got the answer. Look at
no, that. I don't have the answer. But I did look that up, regeneration, just now. Because I'm glad you said that. I've come across that before. I never really tied that together, but. When I looked it up in the Hebrew, it does say it's referencing to being like born again. And so, that's kind of what we're, and the reason why I even brought this topic up was because everybody that's a Christian is born again, if they're called to be a Christian, you know, because that's what they're born again. But that's not a guarantee for entering into the kingdom of God either. That's one of the things I wanted to look over a little bit, because that's where the church is falling and has failed, because they're born again, but they have not come into the image of Christ. And that's where they're going to fail, because they're like what Pat brought up, the sower, the different kinds of seed.
Yeah.
You got only one of the four came up and produced a fruit that was worthy for the Lord to accept, 30, 60, or 100 fold. The others all fell away from that. It didn't have enough. And then you also have the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 are foolish, 5 are wise. They were all born again. 5 foolish ones didn't enter into the kingdom of God.
Okay, so I always draw my question then, because
no, I'm glad you put that up there, because I didn't see that verse before till now. Yeah. The regeneration is talking about being born again.
Yeah. So perhaps because that was the former reign, perhaps this is how we can relate to this.
I think we need to understand what born again is and what it is. You're good. You're fine.
Okay, so I'll let that question go, and I'll just give my little, since I wanted to do the born again first.
I think
I'm gonna have to put my glasses on for this.
Yeah, you're good. We want to understand what born again is and what the Lord wants out of that born again.
Let's read what the word says.
Right.
Let's just read what it says. It says, "Verily I say unto you, that ye who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, what's his glory? His death and resurrection, right? Ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What Jesus promised us? To sit on his throne, didn't he?
Yeah. That's in one of the churches, actually.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to throw that out there. Now let's go with that. Because that's what born again is to follow Jesus into that death to self. Regeneration means forget Michael and Jesus is coming on.
Okay, I guess that answers my question. Yeah. It's just that, you know, sometimes those apostles, you know, Peter rebuked them and told them that it's not going to be that way with you, Jesus, when you go when you go to Jerusalem or whatever, you know. And he told them three times, I think, of his cross, and they didn't want to ask him what he was talking about because they didn't understand it, you know, and they didn't understand or something like that anyway. But I want to come off that topic. I just don't want to confuse the topic that we're talking about anyway. So that was just a question that I got more myself. I don't want to confuse anyone or say anything about it because it just seems like they were waiting for something.
Well, you're not crossing. And David was right too.
You're not confusing it either, because that's also part of being born again, is that baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's going to allow you to come into the image. It's going to give you the power if you are being led by the Spirit and don't deviate from that and not letting your spirit be defiled with anything else and walking close to the Lord with his power to get you into that born again place you need to be as a son of God. So the regeneration you're talking about with the or latter rain or former rain, it's still the idea of having the baptism of the Holy Spirit there to help you into this born again experience. There's a lot of Christians out there that are born again that don't have either one of those yet. We don't have the latter-day rain, but we do have the former right now where he's experienced that. But there's many in the church today that don't even have that former rain. And they're not getting what they need to progress into the kingdom. So, you know, you're right on that too.
Well, I might go you one further, Dave, is that most everybody in the in the kingdom of God has not come to the fullness of the former rain. They have not come to the fullness of the former rain, where your shadow, where the glory of God is so heavy on you that when you walk by people, they're healed. We're not experiencing that, but God's bringing us there. He's bringing every one of us there. As you walk by faith in what he's doing in your life, and that is dying to self and allowing Jesus to come alive in you. Okay, Pat, go ahead. You got a question?
I just can make my statement then, because
go ahead.
Okay. One needs to bear his cross, to judge with mercy and grace, not the law. This is a function that every disciple of Jesus Christ has to do. Just think of it: if you're coming to someone and you're making a judgment call against that person with mercy, with grace. If this is going to have, this will always help their faith grow if they're regenerated, if they're even just have the Christ spirit in accordance to Romans 8 and 9. To love God with your all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, your neighbor, and your enemies too. You should have all the blessings of Matthew 5. You know, to have that contrite heart, to have the blessed, you know, all these blessings, first of all, are given to you. In Ephesians 1 and 3, it says there, blessed be the God and
you muted yourself. Andrew, you muted yourself.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ Jesus. And every single one of these in this chapter is a blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, that contrite heart, that spirit that's like a child. You know, then the next one is blessed are they that mourn. You know, but are you in a mourning to the desire more and more of Christ on a daily basis? Also, you know, I think all of the next ones refer to that first one, where you do have this contrite heart, this open heart, the heart that God will not despise, the humbleness, the meekness also. You know, our Lord tells us to be meek, to put his yoke on, to learn from him, for he is meek and lowly, and you shall have rest for your souls, and to hunger for the righteousness. Is this something we're doing? This is a blessing from God. It's been granted to you. All these blessings are to be merciful, to judge with mercy. If you're going to judge someone with mercy, it's a closed deal. Now, I know that if you go to some worldly people, if you show mercy and grace to them by judgment, they just might fly off the handle even worse against you. But that's just the way they are. You have to love your enemies, even. Pray for them that despitefully use you. You can't bring a legal bearing judgment against any man. Any man. You have to really check with the Lord if he wants you to do that. You know, and this, see, as he is, even so are we in the world. You know, 1 John 4:17. And thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. You know, the graces of the Spirit are to make a man free from self. And these blessings of purity, which is holiness, you know, this holiness, this blessing of purity, ye shall be holy because I am holy, Jesus said. There's a promise in it. And even Peter says, he that calleth you is holy. Be ye therefore holy in all your behavior. You know, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? You know, it's a calling to the people. This is how Jesus first spoke from the mountain. You know, peace doers. Peace. You have 2 feet. There's 2 sandals on them. The 2 are made one, thus making peace. It's in Ephesians 2. It's a definition of a word. That The world don't know this beast. They think it's at the end of a gun barrel. And sad to say, even the patriots think the same thing of every nation. And of course, then here's the two ones for your cross. Blessed they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake. You thirsted for their righteousness. You were blessed to have their righteousness. You're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, it's by this time, you know, I have to look to Romans 4 and 5 and remember that I'm reckoned righteous by faith. And to have all of this where you're supposed to behave and have these blessings give them to you. Are we really approaching them? You know, so you're reckoned righteous by faith. You know, the ungodly one was reckoned righteous by faith. It's not that we're supposed to be ungodly or want ungodliness. We should want what these blessings are. But we tend to goof up. I am too much goofed up from these things. And, you know, if ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ask whatever ye will, and it will be done unto you. That's John 15 and 7. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe ye that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. That's 11:24 of Mark. So no idols. No, none of these idols, these pet doctrines that the other denominations have, but you still have to shine this. When you speak of grace, when you speak of mercy, to judge them that way.
Andrew, your audio is terrible right now.
Without the Spirit of God behind it. Really? Oh, I don't see anything wrong. So, well, I'll just say, you know, it is finished. The sin, the curse, healing and deliverance. To desire these things and to even imagine them is what we need to have. And well, that's about all I'll say since the sound is not going out too well.
Yeah, it's up and down. It's up and down, and there'll be areas where we can't understand you, but then again, it'll get back up there. But for the last few minutes, it's been pretty good, pretty bad.
That's what I'm saying a born-again person is. Now, these are some of the attributes I believe that Christ wants us to have.
Amen. Question I have is, once you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, is there anything else that we need to do? Oh, yeah? So we can just kick back now. We've done got our ticket punched. Yeah, we can kick back and wait on Jesus because he's coming to pick us up here shortly. Sit on the pew and rest. There you go. Okay. All right, Pat, do you want to hit? You want to tackle that one? Can't hear you. Nope, nothing coming out. nothing coming out. Okay. Petra, you cold? You look like a cold girl. You're putting on coats and blankets and everything else, Danny. Man, it's warm here. Praise the Lord. All right. All right. Anybody else wanna? Yeah, Dave. How cold is it, Petra? Hang on, Dave. How cold is it, Petra, down there where you are?
It's like, I would say it's now like 11, 12 degrees, but we work in Celsius. I don't know how much that is in Fahrenheit.
12 yeah. degrees Celsius?
Yeah.
That'd be about 45.
Okay.
40, yeah, see how good I am. I know all this stuff.
So is that cold or is that not too cold for you guys?
That's cold. Yeah, that's cold for me. I can't tell you. If it's below 75, I'm cold.
Yeah, okay, great. Because I am cold.
Okay, well, Lord, we just thank you for heating up her internal heat, or her internal temperature to a place where she's not cold anymore in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Okay, Dave.
Yeah, it's 53 where she's at Fahrenheit, and it's 53 where I'm at right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've got a extra one too. The born again idea is the first thing that happens again is your spirit is brought in alignment with God, so you become born again. You received the gospel. You received the invitation. Your spirit became renewed, you know. Now that part of you, that spirit, is the holy part of you that cannot, at this point, that's what your connection with God is your spirit. That's the born again part of you. Now what we need to do is get the rest of us in alignment with the word, and that's our soul, and that's your mind, will, and emotions. But the way we're going to have to approach this is by faith. We're going to have to read the word and get it down inside of our hearts. And not let, of course, any kind of condemnation come against us that's going to try to ruin that and take away what we're trying to build up in faith. Because that's probably the first thing you do when you become in the kingdom of God is you realize, wow, I'm a pretty terrible sinner. Well, thank God Jesus saved me, but you still feel terrible. I did for years. I still felt like I was a terrible sinner and couldn't be saved because I didn't have that baptism of the Holy Spirit yet to help me overcome that sin nature and help expel those demons that were constantly putting that barrage of sinful state on you, making you feel like a terrible, rotten sinner. You know, so you need that baptism of the Holy Spirit to help you overcome not only your sin nature, but overcome Satan that's always trying to barrage you and make you feel like you're always a failure. You need to be able to shut him out of your life with that baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you get the power to start walking in the word that you need. So these are the things that are needed in order to progress in born again. And that is the other thing is this all ties in with sanctification. It ties with salvation, instant and progressive. It ties in with the sons of God. All this is the same idea because it's a process. And what I mean by a process is that from the time you start, you don't stop. You just keep on growing and progressing through your life into this kingdom of God. And they also said the kingdom of God is not something you're going to observe from the outside. It's going to start from within you. It's from within you the kingdom of God starts, right? So that's what we're working on. We're working with within us, that born again thing. And somebody can't look at you and say, oh, they're born again. Although you might get a feeling like, oh, I feel like that person's a Christian. There's something about them, you know? You got that connection there. You just kind of feel, you know, I've had that, you've had that. We felt like there's somebody around us that might be born again. They have that born again spirit. But this is the important part about being born again. And a lot of Christians do. They go to church. They hear their scriptures. But
when they leave church, they usually don't have that continuation of the word going through them every day. They're not getting that down in their soul. And but by doing that, not doing that, they're always going to be in trial, and they're going to always be in error. They're going to feel like they're not, you know, growing in Christ. And a part of that is from not having the baptism of the Holy Spirit to help you overcome. But also it's not having the will to go forward and continue on in Christ. That's what the danger is with the churches today. They always want to make you feel like you relax. It's okay. You're saved. You're here. You're sitting amongst us. Hey, you're singing the songs. You're having fellowship. We're all shaking hands. It's all good. We're all good. They make you feel relaxed where you're at. That's the deception of the church. The apostate state church. That's the deception the Pharisees wanted to give the Jews back in their day. Hey, just be with us. It's okay. Because that's not okay. That's not enough. You should never feel like you've arrived. You should never feel like you're there. You should never feel like I've achieved and I'm there. I'm where I need to be. You should always be thinking, I've got to, you know, continue on with this. It's the race. Paul called it the race. We're in this race. And once you're, as long as you're still on this earth, you're still in that race. Right? So we're not supposed to just sit back at our haunches and relax. Michael brought up the prayer, the video we saw. Well, you know, that's inspirational. It's like, oh yeah, it reminds you, I got to get back in that race. There's things I got to be striving for and praying for in my life and others around me. Kathleen brought that up too. It's so easy for us to be taken out of the race. Little things distract us or pull us away from what we need to be into, because that's the other thing about life. Life has that tendency to do that. Life, we all get pulled. I had to work 11-hour day today. And then try to get a little nap in and try to do this. So you have all these things that get in your way and try to pull you down and distract you from the race. But you just got to come back in, stay focused, and go for it. Take your notes. You know, I've got my notes. I've got my Bible scriptures. I was ready for this, to talk about this a little bit today. You know, Paul says that, you know, in 2 Peter 1:10 says, therefore, brothers, be diligent to make sure your calling and election is sure. Yeah. Says, for if you do these things, well, what did he talk about doing prior to that? He says, here we got to make sure we're escaping this world by its corruption by the world of lust. And he says, add in all your part and diligence in your faith, which starts out. That's what we need. That starts this whole thing out with born again. Once you come into the kingdom and realize you've got a new spirit of God and you accepted this invitation. We got that born again experience, that regenerated spirit. We have that invitation. Then we have to start in by continuing that with our faith. It says, I'm going to go back to the ASV here. It's a little better version for that. I like how they say that. I had that. But, okay, hold on. In your faith, supply virtue, and your virtual knowledge, and your knowledge, self-control, and in self-control, patience, and your patience, godliness, and godliness, brotherly kindness, and in brotherly kindness. And he says, for if these things are yours, and are found, they make you not to be idle nor fruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for he that lacks these things is blind, seeing only what is near. Again, he got his eyes off the prize. He got his eyes off the calling. He got his eyes off the mirror, which was Jesus. right? Which we can't do. We got to keep this focus on the Lord all the time. We got to see Jesus in the mirror all the time. And the way you're going to see Jesus in the mirror all the time, you got to get in the Word, get it down inside your heart. And we got to get each other, and we got to exhort each other in the Word all the time. And we got to be talking about it and praying for each other and praying for other things. Like Nadia, Natasha, was it Natasha? Yes. I mean, we're praying for each other. These things we need to do. It says, and then he goes by, he says, this is, if you do these things, more, you give them more diligence to make sure your calling and election is sure. If you do these things, you shall never stumble. But that's what we're pressing on for, the high calling of Jesus Christ. And that's where the, where I think, and if you try to tell somebody in the church world, hey, you're missing out, you're not following, you're not going down this path that you need to be on, this narrow road, they have a hard time listening to you say that, because they've been told it's okay, where they're all right. As a matter of fact, they've been told, where I go, we've got the truth and everybody else doesn't. So I'm not going to trust what you got to tell me, because I'm suspicious of you. You say a Christian, but you don't go to where I go to church. And we're all just trying to, you know, bring the body and together as be as one and exhort each other in the faith and bring each other closer to Jesus, and so nobody misses out. But the wolves came in and divided the flock. And now we can't even share Christ. We can't even share the gospel, the true message, even with, maybe even with our relatives. Because the wolves came in and divided the flock and planted that seed of suspicion and doubt and make sure that, you know, because they don't speak to Jesus that you speak, that maybe you're in a past that you're the heretic. When reality is, we're trying to bring them into the truth. You know. So anyway, this did a little exhorting there. If somebody else wants to continue, that's fine. I could read some more scriptures if you want, but that's kind of where I was taking this.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, their timing is coming to an end, Claire. I can remember when I came into the Kingdom of God just a few years ago, 23 years ago, that I believe that the man up there in the pulpit knew what he was talking about. And what got me was when I was out and I found out that he didn't have a clue what was going on in the Kingdom of God. When I got healed after I became a Christian, and he was preaching that that doesn't happen anymore, and that you're going to get everything, you've gotten everything that you're going to get. There's nothing else right now. Just sit and wait until Jesus comes, and everything's going to be fine. You'll be tiptoeing through the tulips, I believe was the word he told me. And you know what happened? All hell broke loose and as soon as I came to Jesus, because them demons was mad that I'd left them. And I found out that he was lying about healing, because I got healed in a bookstore. And then I found out he was lying about salvation. Then I found out a lot of other things when I came to UBM. But it's because the reason that we're all here is because we probably at some point in our walk have prayed that, God, please don't allow me to be deceived. And that was my prayer for many years. Lord, please don't allow me to be deceived. And he brought me into the truth little by little, by little, as I could take it. And those people who are hungry for the Lord are the ones that we're looking for, right? Those people that are the chosen are the ones that we're looking for. And that's the ones that are going to come out of the apostate churches looking for those people with the signs and wonders following him. That's what y'all are going to be doing. Signs and wonders are going to be following you as you walk the walk that God has you on, because you've already gone through tribulation. Most of you have already gone through tribulation and died to self. And when you die to self, you don't have to go through it again. You've overcome. And then most everything, I know there's still some a whole lot left in me that has to be done, and I know that, but God's working on me, okay? And don't be looking at me with them holy eyes, acting like you sitting on that self-righteous horse you got. No, I'm telling you, every one of us are looking at God, looking to God to cleanse us up in a way that when the anointing comes, it'll be easy. It'll just be a step over. And God's going to do it. He's going to do it in a way that's going to bless our socks off. Well, everybody's going to be walking around barefooted. Praise the Lord forevermore. Yeah, Pap, go ahead, brother.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir, we can. What'd you do? Turn your mic on?
Change my headphones.
Okay.
Everything that everybody is saying is really, Andrew, I have to thank you for that verse. That verse that you gave us is, I'm sitting here dwelling and thinking upon that. It's exactly everything that we're talking about here today. And when he said, and I believe you're right that there's two meanings, or there's two applications to this verse, as Jesus was, I'm talking about Matthew 19:28. Truly I say to you that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And I think of that verse in Revelation that said, he that overcomes, even as I have overcome, shall sit with me in my throne. And this, when I'm looking at that, and I didn't look it up, but Andrew, you said that word regeneration is the same word for born again. If that's the case, it's interesting that Jesus was talking to the disciples again before the crucifixion, and he said, truly, you who have followed me in the regeneration. And that regeneration of that new life, even for to a certain degree in Jesus' life, came after the crucifixion. There were certain aspects of Jesus, even his physical, being able to walk through walls and do it, and all this sort of situation. There was a change, obviously, that happened after the crucifixion. And I believe Jesus was telling his disciples that after they participate in the crucifixion, that crucifixion, Jesus's crucifixion, that there is a there is a fuller, complete participation in that crucifixion, where that old man in manifestation, I believe, is gone, is dead, is neutralized in our life to such a degree that we are set free to function within that authority of God, of Christ. And I know that we are all practicing it now and learning steps through that process of how to operate, how to function in that authority that God has given us through Christ. But I believe what Michael is saying is that that when this anointing comes, there's going to be, and I'm not saying that it has to be connected to the anointing, but there's going to be a realization or a manifestation of the death to self to such a degree that when this anointing comes, that authority, that functioning in the authority of Christ will come easily and without a struggle, I believe. And I think this verse even says that you who have followed me in this regeneration, this crucifixion, this dying of the old man, this raising of the new man in Christ, shall sit on the throne of, and he shall sit on the throne, and you shall also sit upon 12 thrones, that you as an individual will function in your authority within Christ, in that same authority of Christ, and it will be in your own flavor, or I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly, probably not. But anyway, maybe you get the picture of what I'm spitting out here.
Okay, yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
Andrew's question brought a question to my mind too, because I was thinking about while he was saying that Jesus was telling his disciples because they followed him, they would sit on the thrones. Obviously, that was something to come along. But I got to thinking about being born again. I don't think they were born again when he said that, but that's up for interpretation, I guess. But I was thinking about they didn't receive. He said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit." You know, but in another place it says that he breathed on them and they received the Spirit. But whose spirit did they receive? Did they receive the spirit of Christ, which is what I'm thinking now, and then later received the spirit of God 10 days later, basically. So, I never thought of it that way before. And just what he was saying earlier, just picked that in my mind, you know. So I think that at that point they were born again, but they didn't receive the Spirit till 10 days later, when the Holy Spirit fell on the whole group of them. So,
amen. I believe you're right. Go ahead, Julie. Let me get her, Dave, and I'll come right back to you.
Okay, so I have a question now. When we receive the Spirit of Christ, when we believe and we become a
born again believer. That's what I thought born again was. And then you have to continue on in your faith, get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and walk it out, run the race. So when do you actually get born again? Because I thought it was when you made that decision to make Jesus your Lord, your Savior, believe in him, and read, study the Bible, do all these things, and then you grow. You grow, and the Holy Spirit's the one that matures you, and the Word, the water, the Word, and the Spirit. So now you've got me confused. If I'm wrong, then please make me to understand.
Okay. All right. Let's see what Dave said.
Yeah, I agree with that, Julie. When you come into the kingdom of God, you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, received the gospel message. However, the point came where you are now receiving the good news, the kingdom. Your spirit at that point is born again. It's your spirit. That's your connection with God. Now, your spirit is not your soul. Right? Your spirit is kind of works in a line with your conscience, in the sense that if you like, the Holy Spirit is what guides you through your spirit. And if you're going to walk in agreement with the Holy Spirit, that's when you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's how you're led as sons of God, through your spirit. Now, when you do things that are contrary to the spirit, you'll get that feeling like this isn't right. There's something wrong, or you're doing something. You get that check. That's your spirit talking to your soul and everything else. But it's also through your conscience. Now, we're taking and using the Word of God and getting our soul educated and changed and transformed with the Word of God and getting it in down inside of us to get the fullness of Christ at that point. That's what the Word of God does. Brings us in the fullness, and the Holy Spirit works that in us. He's also using that to transform and get our soul, our mind, will, emotions in line with that. But that spirit is our connection with God that stays holy. And that's one of the things, if you do not manifest Christ in your life, that spirit goes back to God who gave it. It says that in the scripture. That's what that means. That spirit is God's. It's holy. Right? So that thing that you lost, and whatever the person is damned, they're taking their soul to hell. Not their spirit, but they're taking their soul to hell. Because what you have, Adam was a living soul. So that soul is still alive. We can understand soul has a life still. Anyways, that's just kind of understanding the spirit and the soul. Now, I'm thinking when Jesus did breathe on the disciples, I'm not so sure if it was his spirit or the Holy Spirit, because it does say in John here, and I'm not trying to, we'll have to look, that'd be another thing we'll have to look at, I think, to get more of an idea. It says in John, it says, I indeed baptized you. John says this in John the Baptist is saying this in Matthew 3:11. Says, I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. I'm kind of wondering if Jesus, even though you think the Holy Spirit didn't come on them till 15 days later, well, I don't know how many days later it was when he breathed on him. 50 days later, was it? It's still, he received the Holy Spirit then. They received it then. But the power, you see the power come on him then at that time. That's what I'm thinking. Now, once you, again, you receive Christ as your Savior, the Messiah, guess what? Your spirit's been born again. It's not the power of God. That's what we're talking. There's a born again initially, and then it's up to us to continue on that and get more of the born again experience, to become transformed more and more into the Christ image. If we don't push and continue on, we're the parable of the sower, or the parable of the talents. We're bearing our talent under the earth. You know, when God expected to have something come out of that, and we buried it. All right, that's where we don't want to bury that talent. That talent is that born again experience. And if we're not moving forward with that born again experience and building up and becoming more in the image of Christ, 30, 60, 100-fold, we're losing that whole thing he gave us with that born again experience. That born again start is a starting place. It's not where we want to end. We want to continue forward. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, dude.
So when Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, where it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is verse 5, I say unto you, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So is that the Spirit of Christ or is that the Holy Spirit? Because you have to receive the kingdom of God as a child, with the faith of a child, and you don't know a whole lot. You're just entering in, but the born of water is the Word.
Word.
And the Spirit, is that the Spirit of Christ or is that the Holy Spirit? As he says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born anew. The wind bloweth where it will, and thou hearest the voice thereof, but knowest not whence it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So which Spirit is he talking about there?
It's going to be both Christ's Spirit and God's Spirit at that point. That's what you're talking about. Because again, your spirit is connected with God. That's your connection with God, is your spirit.
Right.
Spirit of God and the Word.
I'm thinking like the parallel of the spirit, soul, and body, where the spirit is the Holy of Holies and the soul is the inner chamber, the temple, inner chamber, enter part of the temple, and the body is the court, the outer court.
Well, here's a question for you. Was Jesus born again before he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
He was the only begotten born from above, so he was born before.
He was a born again person. But
he
still
was born from above.
He was. He is born again because he is born twice. Born first in heaven, then second on the earth. But he also baptized the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But his spirit, at the same time, being born again on the earth, he had a pure spirit. His spirit was in line with the Father, even at before he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he was born again on the earth, but he also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we have to do also.
That's to overcome the sin nature.
Well, that also gave him the power to walk in the Spirit of God.
Right. Well,
that's why we also need the power of the God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Even though we have a born-again spirit, we still need the power of God to help us do the rest of the things God has in mind for us to do.
Amen.
Okay. All right, anybody else? What did Jesus say the requisition or the request? What did Jesus say you had to do to be born again? It's two things, right? Yeah, Missy, I think you had yours up first.
Repent and believe.
Amen. Now, what does that incorporate?
Repenting and believing.
Repenting, okay. Repenting, changing your mind.
You nailed it, Leon.
Changing your mind, repenting of your sins, and changing your mind and making a 180. And believing everything that Jesus said, believing everything in the Bible, believing that he did it all. It is finished.
Amen. And that believing part is the part that they don't understand is so deep. They stop right there. Well, I believe Jesus died on the cross, you know, and so if I believe that, I'm okay. No, that's everything we've talked about is right tonight.
Yeah, that's the beginning part of born again. That's just the beginning part of born again.
Well, the belief part is to believe that you're already sanctified, but you may not look sanctified. You may not, from somebody else's point, but you're sanctified by faith, right? You're righteous by faith. And that's where the believing comes. Go ahead, Pat.
I was just going to say, I think the part that the normal Christian environment has wrong is the repent portion, because there's a tendency to, you know, to believe, yet to believe in anything or whatever, but only if you first repent, or you're willing, like Missy said, to change your mind. You're in that inner environment that you are willing to look for other resources. You're seeing your own deficiencies, or maybe what you have been believing up to this point is not providing you with the necessary resources to make it through this situation. And you're willing to change your thinking. You're willing to change. So I think that that foundational aspect has to be present before so that ground is, that soil is broken up, and you're willing to receive a new direction through God's word. So I kind of think it's the repentance portion that may not be correct, that may not be evident there, and therefore the believing portion of it means kind of very little. So anyway, I'll just shut up and let everybody go.
All right, go ahead, Missy.
You know, the believing, you know, too many Christians, you know, they say, I believe this and I believe that. What they have is the letter kills, you know, but the spirit gives life. The word says, faith without works is dead. All they have is the doctrine, They have a letter, but they have no, most have very little, acting out their faith. Faith without works is dead. They don't have the works.
That's because they don't understand faith.
Right, exactly.
They don't understand.
They don't even believe, you know, because they've been told. I mean, gosh, what David shared on Sunday was, oh, it was so good. You know, I lost my train of thought. Help, Lord. I just lost it. I'm sorry. I lost my thought I had there.
It's okay. Yeah, they don't understand what faith is. They believe that their faith is believing that Jesus died on the cross, and now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on their behalf until he gets back and picks them up and takes them up in the first busload, you know. Yeah, Dave.
I was going to say, they also are based some of their faith on what they do by the works they do in their church, whatever they got them busy doing, or whatever they think they do to stay, like, follow some certain practices or thoughts or sacraments or whatever. they use those works, the rudiments of the world, the worldly ways, things that have been brought into the church that are Babylonian in nature. They use those works to feel justified also, not realizing that it's faith that justifies you. And with that faith, then you walk in obedience to the Lord. And then you have the works of the Lord in you, because he's fulfilling his will in you, doing his works through you, his will through you. And that's the works of God, not the works that man has created, but the will of God works through you to do. Then those are the works that you're putting on the righteous acts of the saints at that point. Well, I think Missy got her train of thought back.
Yeah, she did. Go ahead.
Yeah. They say it all passed away, you know, and everybody believes them, and they believe them because they don't know what real faith is. They're not taught what real faith is. I mean, and so many of them, you know, say that, you know, when you believed, you received the Spirit. Well,
15 seconds.
Like David said, they're liars, you know, that it's, you know, if they got the Spirit, then where's the signs and where's the wonders? You know, it says when you fill with the Spirit, you shall have signs and wonders. It's like, geez, Lord, bring them back into the truth. Open their eyes, open their ears. Help them to look at the word for themselves, Lord, and read it and believe it. It's still all true, Lord.
Greg says, all aboard cruise ship Jesus. Don't forget to pack your rapture ready backpack. Oh, my gracious. Thank you, Lord, for your humor. Rapture ready. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you so much for this timely discussion. And Lord, we praise you for all that have listened and learned something from it. And Lord, we ask and we pray, Lord, that this word would go out and bring people to the realization that they need to get in the word instead of listening to man. They need to listen to you, Lord. And we thank you for bringing people into the word. And don't rely on men with big letters behind their name. And Lord, because their salvation depends upon what they do, not what the pastor does. That pastor's not going to be sitting up there. That teacher's not going to be sitting up there at the gates. Yep, let old Bob in. He's going to be all right. He was under me. He tithes real good. No, that ain't the way it's going to be. You're going to be brought into the kingdom of God with the fruit that you have. And Lord, we thank you for bringing that thought into everybody's mind and put the fear of God on them, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that our prayers have been answered tonight. We thank you, Father, that everyone that we prayed for tonight has been healed, delivered, and set free. And we're looking for the good report. Thank you, Lord, that everybody here is going to get a good night's sleep tonight, wake up in the morning supernaturally supercharged, ready to go again in this walk that you've got us on, Lord. Thank you for this trial of this fast, Lord, this 40-day fast. Let us be ever vigilant to be praying, Lord, against our enemies and against the country's enemies. And, Lord, we thank you for placing that in our hearts to do that. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives and putting that golden cord, that golden thread through our hearts and bringing us all into one accord. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, all right. Good night, y'all.
All right.
Hey, Michael, can I say a quick prayer, please?
Sure, yeah. Go right ahead.
Just to explain I can hear bits and pieces over in the other room of the presidential debate. And for maybe 2 minutes.
That's a comedy.
Oh, boy. Well, for 2 minutes max, I went online and looked. You know, I listened just for like 2 minutes. And let's just put it this way. This is my prayer. Father, I pray that this presidential debate does not make people, it just cast down all kinds of factious people, spirits, warring spirits, spirits, especially upon your elect, your people, Lord, that they do not, this does not spur them to want to wrestle with flesh and blood, Lord, and just pray for your protection upon your people, and we just cast down violence and anything that this would stir up in Jesus' name, and we just thank you, Lord, for doing that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's going to turn a bunch of people toward Trump. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Y'all be so blessed. I'll be telling you the truth. I got everybody unmuted here but Andrew. I don't know why he's not. There you go.
You didn't stop the recording now.
I can.